December the 28th, we have 9 games to get through. I don't even know if that's right. 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 games to get through. We have a returning player potentially tomorrow. The Sacramento Kings still have no idea. And Dyson Daniels didn't play. So it was a sad day, but we have a lot to talk about. Let's get into the show. This is the Saturday post-game show. Let's go, balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I do and say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I am Adam King, your host. Find me on Twitter. Find me on Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. Please go and download episodes as many times as you like. Maybe you can only do it once. I don't know. Subscribe, like, everything. We are part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. All right, 9 games to get through. Returning. We'll start with the returning player. It's not hugely significant, but Cam Thomas has been upgraded to probable for tomorrow. So that's some good news. If you have him, I would probably get him active. They might be a little bit cautious with him, but probably still worth activating for tomorrow if you can. Couple other injuries, things like that, but we'll talk about that stuff when we get to the relevant or the respective games. Let's start with questions and comments today. Josh Giddey, we are so back. He was good today. Great to see. A couple of weeks off with an ankle injury seemed to do him some good. We'll talk about him more, obviously, when we get to the box score. Jalen Johnson quietly being excellent. He is. I think he has to be an all-star. I had him in my all-star squads. I thought he was phenomenal today and has been all season, really. We have a trade question from Steve. How do I trade with people after pulling off several buy low, sell highs last year? Now everyone thinks I'm going to scam them. It's their mindset, I guess. So, I mean, how do you change someone's way of thinking? I don't know. You never go into a trade looking to scam someone. Maybe you do to some degree if you know your stuff. I don't know. I guess you have to somehow prove that maybe you got lucky. I don't know, pull up some stats, demonstrating that maybe someone overperformed or a guy you traded away got injured or something like that. I don't know. It's hard to change other people's thought processes and their ideas and concepts and things like that. As I say to families all the time, you can only control what you can control. And usually that isn't those people around you. That is the same in this case. You can't control what they want to think or do think. Let's have a look. Oh, we've got a question here from Ernest. Do we drop Tobias for Scoot in a 12-team league punting field goal percentage? Scoot's interesting. He's had a couple of good games. Now, I would say, the last 2-3 games, maybe? Sorry, I'll just pull up his box scores here. Scoot Henderson. Okay, let's have a look. Three, you could argue 4 good games. Today, he had 19 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists, 5 steals. The 5 steals, obviously, we're not going to get them every night. This is basically what we thought Scoot would be doing all year. So it just hasn't happened for the first 2 months, now it is. He is still coming off the bench. The minutes are still under 30. So I definitely think he needs to be rostered. Would I add him over Tobias Harris? I mean, there's going to come a point, I think, where I'm just going to say, yes, drop Tobias Harris. I don't think I'm there yet. But I'm not going to tell you you shouldn't do it. Maybe I'll put it that way. Do I have any New Year's resolutions? No, I don't. I never really have any New Year's resolutions. Just to keep doing, well, to keep enjoying this and to keep enjoying my day job, which I do. I love both my jobs. So I'm pretty lucky in that respect. And, yeah, I can't really think of anything else. If I do, I'll let you know. Let's get into the games. 9 of them. First game, Miami at Atlanta. Hawks get the win. There was no Dyson Daniels, as I said, but we will start with Miami. Still no Jimmy Butler. He has been on the toilet for about 2 weeks, so did not play. We got Jaime Jaquez in the starting lineup. Haywood Highsmith actually did something tonight. I'm not rushing to add him after this. Jaquez, despite starting, only played 21 minutes, and the jerk had 3 steals again, so I love that. That's 8 steals in 2 games when I'm up against him in a matchup, so really appreciated. Duncan Robinson hit 4 threes. The 2 steals are a nice bonus. He remains a decent enough 3-point streamer. Rozier, still just on the fringes of 12 teams. I don't think he needs to be rostered. Khalil Ware has fallen off a little bit after a nice sort of a run there of production. Deeper leagues only for Khalil Ware. And not much else for Miami. Tyler Hero was good. Bam was fine. 17 and 10, 2 blocks, 1 steal. Seems to have plateaued a little bit, but has been good enough. Just the, I don't know, this Miami team, their rotations are a little bit confusing. But what are you going to do about it? Not much. For Atlanta, with no Dyson Daniels, we had Veet Krejci in the starting lineup. I like Veet. He had 7 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds in 23 minutes. We're not adding him anywhere. It's just nice to see him on the court playing a little bit more. Trae Young only had 11 points, just couldn't shoot the ball tonight, but he had 15 assists and he had a steal. Clint Capella, only 21 minutes. This story goes from good to bad really fast. Clint Capella had 6 and 7 with a steal. And that was because Larry Nance just played really well. He had 10 and 10 with 2 steals, 1 assist. Didn't hit any threes, but that's okay. So everything trending towards Larry Nance as a must roster until Okongwu is back. And then we got word after the game that Larry Nance had suffered a hand injury, which he was carrying it in the last quarter. It was noticeable. He played through it. But the Hawks have come out and said he suffered a hand injury and that there'll be further evaluation on this, and he is without a timetable. To me, that screams fracture, broken bone somewhere in his hand. It may have happened on a dunk or a block or something, I think I read. And I would expect a multi-week absence here. So Larry Nance is going to go from the highs of playing his best basketball of the year to potentially being out for 4 weeks, 6 weeks, who knows. Now, obviously, there's no confirmation on this. If you have Larry Nance, I guess hold, but it doesn't track well given that the team has said that he will need further evaluation and has no timetable. That, to me, that says they're preparing for a lengthy absence, not a 1 or 2 gamer here. Jalen Johnson, we touched on him earlier, 28 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 blocks, continues to be their best player, I think. I think he's been better than Trey. Trey's been very good, mind you, but Jalen, I think, has been their best player. Zachary Risacher, 27 minutes, 9 points. We don't need him. DeAndre Hunter playing just very well, 26 points, shooting the ball. hitting threes. He's sort of getting a steal every now and then. He got one here with two assists and five rebounds. That's enough from him. We don't expect much at all. And Gary Bird had 18 points, four threes in his 27 minutes. The Hawks do play again tomorrow. Dyson Daniels was out with an illness, so we don't know. Everyone seems to be getting sick at the moment in the NBA, so we will see if Dyson is out tomorrow. Garrison Matthews would be a nice stream option. All right, on to the second game of the evening. Oklahoma City at Charlotte. Thunder get the win. Charlotte, to their credit, they sort of kept it close. 106 to 94. It wasn't really that close. OKC were out by almost 20, and Charlotte got a few late steals and hit a couple of threes, things like that. But they were never really going to win this one. Jalen Williams still can't shoot the ball. 20 points on 8 of 21 shooting, 6 assists. He got one steal. The buy-low opportunity is still there for Jalen Williams. Aaron Wiggins started with Lu Dort out. 17 points, 2 steals. We saw this from him earlier in the season for a couple of games. If their injury report remains the same, so if we've got Caruso, Dort out, Cason Wallace out, I would have a look at Aaron Wiggins. Certainly, I would look at him over AJ Mitchell, who Mitchell had 10, 5, and 4 in his 32 minutes. I think Wiggins just does a little bit more. Hartenstein, another double-double. Shea, not his best game. 22 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, and 1 block. Still a very good game, but not his best. With all those injuries, we got some J. Will minutes. Sure, it's J. Will. 23 minutes for him, 9 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds, and a steal. Kenrich Williams, 9 points, 4 rebounds, a steal, and assist. Isaiah Joe only got 1-3. So even with some injuries, it's still pretty hard to go out and say, I need to be adding this player for insert number of games here. Aaron Wiggins would be probably at the top of that list if the injury report remains the same. For the Hornets, they were without LaMelo Ball, who was out due to ankle soreness. That's a little concerning, but no word. He was questionable. I think he might have been a game-time decision. So hopefully this is just precautionary Charlotte sort of sucking and not caring, and so they'll just give him the night off. With him out, Vasily Micic became the add. We know that's the case. He had 16 points with 4 assists and 4 threes. Anytime LaMelo misses, Micic becomes a must-add player. Mark Williams, only 22 minutes in this one. I wouldn't worry too much. I wouldn't think that his minutes are trending down or anything. This was just it's not a good matchup against Hartenstein. Hartenstein's just an experienced big body. I'm not concerned here at all. He still had 12 and 10 with a block. Miles Bridges playing much better of late. He had 19, 10 and 6 with 2 blocks and 1 steal. I think he's hit 23 consecutive free throws. I think that's what I heard on the broadcast. So he's playing well, potentially a bit of a sell high at the moment if you are that way inclined. And some intriguing performances off the bench. I thought Isaiah Wong provided them with some good energy off the bench, but we're not seriously considering any of these players, especially if LaMelo returns in the next game. New York at Washington. Knicks get the win eventually. They were lucky, 136-132. I've actually got some thoughts on this game from the Knicks' perspective. We'll start with the stat. Jalen Brunson had 55 points, 9 assists. So phenomenal from him. Cat had 30 and 14 with 2 blocks. Very good. Mikal Bridges, 21 points, 3 steals. So he's playing very well. OG Anunoby is just poo at the moment, 9 points with a steal. Just can't shoot the ball. He is so up and down. It's very frustrating as an OG manager across multiple leagues. He has been very frustrating to have on my team. Josh Hart had 13 and 11 with 7 assists and nothing off the bench. And so I guess not frustrating for me, but what stood out here is the fact that the Knicks, let's be honest, they probably shouldn't have won this game. Washington blew it more than New York winning it. But the fact that you struggle to beat a Washington team that doesn't have Jordan Poole, that doesn't have Kyle Kuzma, not that Kuzma makes that much of a difference, but it highlights to me the issue that I think the Knicks are going to have, and that we know that they're going to have it. There's nothing. There's no support from their bench. It took a 55-point game from Jalen Brunson, 30 points from Cat, to get a narrow win over the worst team in the league. And you look at their bench, they got, 8 points off their bench? And if we look at the Washington box score, if I click on the right screen, they had 7 players in double digits. So they're getting even Valanciunas close to a double-double with a steal and block. Corey Kispert, 11 points. Keyshawn George had 13 points. And then there's a spread of scoring through the starting five there. The Knicks, for me, I just think if or when, it's potentially when. I mean, the minutes here are just stupid. It was an overtime game, so you do need to consider that. But 42 for OG, 44 for Cat, 47 for Bridges, and 44 for Jalen Brunson. It's going to come back to bite them at some point. I'm fairly certain of that. And you basically take any of these starters out and they're in trouble. So anyway, it was a good win. They got the win. They needed the win. For the Wizards, Champagne had a career-high 31 points with 10 rebounds and 2 steals. Are we adding him? I guess you can. Jordan Poole probably isn't going to miss significant time here, so he will come back. Champagne had been trending down. It almost depends on what their mindset is here, and are they going to move Brogdon? What are they going to do with Kispert? I think he's potentially a trade piece. Valanciunas obviously is a trade piece. Do they end up just running with Poole, Barb, Saar, Koulibaly, Champagne, Keyshawn George as their key six, and then lean a little bit more into Vukcevic at some point? Who else have they got? Well, Kuzma, I guess, Poole. I don't know. It depends what they're going to do. As of right now, I don't think Champagne is someone we need to roster, but if you want to grab him just in case Poole misses another game or two, then by all means, go ahead. The Bucks and the Bulls. Good win for the Bulls, 116-111. Still no Giannis for the Bucks. So Portis started. He had 14 and 9 with 2 steals and a block. Sell high, wide open if you can pull it off. Chris Middleton has looked better than I thought he would. I do think this would be a perfect time to move him, because once Giannis is back, I think Middleton will scale back. I think he's probably peaked at the moment. Lillard was good in his return, 29 and 12 with 2 steals. Brook Lopez even got us 22 points tonight with 3 blocks. Coming up against Vooch, no real surprise that he was able to get some stuff on the box score. With Lillard back, Ryan Rollins, Torian Prince, Gary Trent, all these guys just go back to being non-factors. And for the Bulls, Josh Giddey, we talked about him. He returned. He had a triple-double, 23, 15, and 10 with a steal and a block. Very good. Very good. You would have held him. We never said he was a drop. So good to see him back on track. Vucevic, 23 and 13 with 5 assists. Didn't shoot the ball particularly well, 10 of 24 from the field, but the numbers are still good. LaVine was a little bit quiet in this one as well, 15, 7 and 6. Patrick Williams, what are we doing with him? He had 9 points, he had 2 blocks, he had 1 steal. I still think he's very borderline. as a starter who plays 25 to 28 minutes a night, he's worth considering. The upside, as we know, though, it's very limited. Lonzo had 9 points with a steal and 3 assists in his 19 minutes. Needs a little bit more than that, I think, to be a rosterable fellow. All right, Phoenix at Golden State. Good win for the Warriors. Bad loss for the Suns. Kevin Durant, very good. Bradley Beal, very good. Don't need to talk about those guys. Yusuf Nurkic was suspended, as we thought he probably would be. He's out for 3 games, I think. So we roll out Mason Plumlee if you need rebounds and assists with a bit of defense, and that's exactly what he got tonight. Only 2 points, but 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. That's what he does. Royce O'Neal also left this game after only 12 minutes with an ankle injury, I think it was. Somehow we're probably looking at Josh Okogie. Ryan Dunn will play a little bit more. And Dunn, to be fair, Dunn was decent tonight. He had 15 points with 2 blocks, which is okay. But Okogie, we saw last year, if he's playing 30 minutes, he can put up some defensive stats as well. He had 11 points, 9 rebounds with 2 steals and 2 blocks. So I think I'd rather Josh Okogie if Royce O'Neal is going to miss time. For Golden State, Trayce Jackson-Davis, they still limit his minutes. I don't get what Steve Kerr is doing here, but 16 and 10 with 4 blocks and a steal has to be rostered. We'd love to see him pushing the 30 minutes, but just doesn't look like it's going to happen. Curry returned, had 22, 6 and 6. Draymond Green returned, 16 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, so one of his better games. Dennis Schroeder, 34 minutes, 11 points, 13 shots. Yeah. It's hard to make a case for him. I'm okay with dropping him. If you want to hold him, then I think that's okay, but I certainly wouldn't be holding him anywhere. Jonathan Kuminga matched his career high from the previous night, 34 points. He's on a real roll at the moment, so he needs to be rostered. Buddy Hield does not. 0 points, almost a Tony Snell from Buddy Hield. 0 points, 0 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 0 blocks. Very close to a Tony Snell. As was Brandon Podziemski, but he did leave this game with an injury. So we don't need to be rostering any of those guys, obviously. Detroit at Denver. A good win for the Nuggets, as you'd expect against Detroit. Tobias Harris, we talked about him earlier in the show. 7 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 23 minutes. I don't know. I really don't know with Tobias Harris. He could just be washed at this point. He will be better. I feel like there'll be a point in the season where he's putting up top 60 value. Whether that's for 2 games or 2 weeks, I don't know. It's getting to the point where his ceiling isn't really high enough that you need to hold him. He sort of had him as possibly a top 50, top 60 to start the season. Now he's, for me, he's like top 80, best case scenario, more like top 100. And a top 100 player in a standard league is very, very borderline. Jalen Duren, 12 and 7. He went back to old Jalen Duren, which isn't good, Jalen Duren. I would hold him. He's been better than this. But Isaiah Stewart returned and had 16 minutes off the bench. That's going to impact Duren a little bit. It certainly wasn't a standout performance by Stewart, but it does complicate things a little bit. Cade was fine. Ivy was fine. This was just a bit of a, not a blowout, but the minutes were limited. They went with some bench guys. We hold Malik Beasley. Asar Thompson is, look, if he's going to play 24 minutes a night, he is probably a rosterable player. But this does feel like it was more to do with the the result and the way the game was flowing than anything else. For Denver, Peyton Watson came off the bench. Look, this isn't a 12-team line, 5 points, three assists, two steals and a block. I would hold him, I think. Westbrook is obviously, he's the clear beneficiary here with Aaron Gordon out. He had 8 points, nine rebounds, eight assists, two steals. If you don't care about turnovers or percentages, hold him. Jokic, Jamal Murray dominated, no surprise. Christian Brown had 10, 4, and 3 with three steals and a block. So it's a couple of better games for him. And, Watson is a little bit iffy, but I think I would still be holding him if possible. All right, Philadelphia at Utah. Philly narrowly hold on and get the win here. They had the big three all available, which meant that we got nothing from anyone else. Paul George wasn't a great night for him. He did have five steals. He just looks a little bit slow, but he is getting older and he has got a bit of a dodgy knee. Embiid, again, unsurprisingly, against a young, inexperienced Utah team, he had 32, 5, and 4 with four steals and three blocks. If you can sell him, I absolutely would do it at the moment. Kelly Oubre, 9, 2, and 2 with a steal. He's very borderline. When they're healthy, he'll still see minutes, but the production will obviously fall off quite a bit. Yabusele had 12 points off the bench, but I'm not, as I said, not really interested in anyone when they are healthy. For Utah, they were without Keontae George. They were without John Collins, which meant Jordan Clarkson moved into the starting lineup for this one, not Isaiah Collier. Clarkson had 17, 3, and 4. He should be rostered, but the way the pattern has gone in terms of games played, he could miss the next game or the next two. We just don't know. So you hold him, and if they rule him out, you can probably just move on. Colin Sexton has been playing very well, 20 points, 8 assists, 6 rebounds. Must roster player at the moment. When Keontae comes back, we reevaluate. Walker Kessler, he got in some early foul trouble. That limited him a little bit. 11 and 11 with a block. Against Joel Embiid, you probably take this. Cody Williams started for whatever reason and did nothing. Sentsov, talked about him a little bit. He's very intriguing. He had 20 points in 25 minutes. He is the guy that I think should benefit and should play minutes when John Collins is out. Whether they make that move based on this performance, I don't know. Maybe they prefer him coming off the bench. A little bit easier, I guess, when you're not up against the starting unit of the opposing team. All right, Dallas at Portland, 126-122. Portland get the win over the undermanned Dallas Mavericks. They were without Luka Doncic, of course, and both Naji Marshall and PJ Washington were suspended as a result of the fracas with Yusuf Nurkic the night before. So Kyrie Irving, of course, he had to do a lot. He had 46 points. Kleber started and did nothing. Klay Thompson, not his best game. The 17 shots are encouraging, though, and the 34 minutes are very encouraging. So if you've got him, just accept that this was a little bit of a underwhelming performance, but keep rolling him out there. Dan Gafford Derek Lively was out as well, sorry. So Gafford had 15-9 with five blocks. Must roster player until Lively is back. Then we have the guard rotation. Spencer Dinwiddie, Quentin Grimes, and now apparently Jaden Hardy is in that mix. Dinwiddie started. He had 17 and 8 with 4 assists in 35 minutes. Quentin Grimes was not the first guard off the bench. It was Jaden Hardy. Hardy had 11, 4 and 1 in 17 minutes. Quentin Grimes had 15, 6 and 3 with a steal and a block in 28 minutes. So what are we doing with this? My thoughts haven't really changed. I still think Grimes would be my preferred option, but it's very close. As we've said, I don't think Dinwiddie starting in this game means that he is going to start next game, for example. This will be a nightly decision. It'll be based on the opposition and how the coach is feeling, what mindset is Jason Kidd in. So I think Dinwiddie and Grimes are still both 12-team adds. Not Jaden Hardy yet. Of the three, I like Hardy the most, but on a team that needs to win and keep winning, it doesn't feel like they're going to lean too heavily into Jaden Hardy. For Portland, DeAndre Ayton, if you can sell high on him, I absolutely would. 21 and 16 with three blocks and two steals. Denny Avdia, another good game for him. 21, 5 and 5, must roster player. Anthony Simons and Shaedon Sharpe both had a good game here. We're rostering them. Jeremy Grant, we're rostering him. Donovan Klingon, we are not. Only 12 minutes, and Robert Williams has still got to come back in and take some minutes somewhere. Scoot Henderson, I said he is a must roster player at the moment. We reevaluate on a game by game basis, but based on what we've seen the last week, he is someone we need to roster. And, oh, what has it done that? There we go. Last game. Sacramento at the Lakers. So it turns out that Mike Brown was not the problem in Sacramento. Surprise, surprise. They lose to the Lakers, who were without LeBron James, 132 to 122. Let's start with the Kings. A better performance from DeRozan, 25, 6, and 7. Sabonis fouled out in this one, 14, 12, and 7. So not his best performance, but he was limited. De'Aaron Fox had 29, 12 with 5 rebounds, 4 steals, and a block. So production-wise, great game. Malik Monk had 20 points. So the numbers look really good here. The plus-minuses don't look as good. Interestingly, Keon Ellis was once again their best in terms of plus-minus. He was a plus 7, had 11 points with a steal and a block in 13 minutes off the bench. So I don't know whose wife he has joined in bed or what he's done here, but for some reason they just don't want to play him despite the fact that I think he's clearly their best defensive player. Keegan Murray had 5 points in 29 minutes. So unless some changes are coming in terms of the rotation and the mindset here, I just don't see anything changing for Sacramento. Their rotation, the build continues to be weird. There's only so much a coach can do. Maybe he's under instruction to only play Keon Ellis no more than 15 minutes. I don't know. And I don't care. They're a shitty organization and deserve what they're getting. So whether that's probably a bit harsh, but yeah, it must be frustrating if you're a Sacramento fan. For the Lakers, no LeBron. Anthony Davis stepped up 36, 15, and 8. No defensive stats here, weirdly, but he basically just had to put the team on his shoulders offensively, so didn't focus too much. On the other end, Austin Reeves had 26 and 16, his best LeBron impression. Career high, 16 assists for Austin Reeves, quietly putting together a really good season. And with no LeBron, we needed a bit from others. Rui Hachimura had 21 points. Dalton Connect had 18 points. Max Christie had 16 points. Are we adding any of these players? No. I still like Max Christie. He's starting deeper leagues. I think he should be rostered. But Rui and Connect will, yeah, once LeBron's back, they won't be as valuable. D'Angelo Russell, 9 points. If he can only get 9 points with LeBron out, I don't think he's someone we need to roster. And that's it. That is all the games. Let's jump out of those. Let's have a look at some questions very quickly. We did the first few. Yeah. Okay, let's start with Alex here. Seems that OG and Mikal Bridges can't have a good night. No, they can't. Throw in high minutes. Enough reason. So Mikal Bridges is a sell high, I think, at the moment. And, yeah, I mean, of all these guys, he is the one that we have the least concern about, I suppose, only because he's played like 40,000 games in a row. But does that mean he's closer to an injury? Maybe. Yeah, look, if you wanted to sell Mikal Bridges now would be the time. I wouldn't be trying to move OG at the moment. If you could get a top 40 player back from Cale Bridges, I'd probably do it. As long if he stays healthy, I think he'll be good all season. But there is always that risk there. Bilal on fire last couple of weeks, month. Would I trade for him or not? Likely to find similar production on the wire. He has been hot, but if you remember back to the start of the season, he was very good. And then he went through a huge cold patch. Just bring up his box scores here. So there's a pretty good chance that that happens again. Oh, why did it do that? Okay, where are we? So Koulibaly, so scoring-wise, so he started the season, he had 23, 17, 27, 22, 9, 10, 20, 11. And then he went on a run of where he had two double-digit scoring games in about, almost a month. And then he's scored in double digits in seven straight games. So there could be a drop-off coming here at some point. The defense is always going to be there, the other stats. The minutes are always there. They're not going to take that away from him. Would I be trying to trade for him? I think he's probably top 100 rest of season. But yeah, I don't think he's much more than that. So if you wanted to grab him, you could. But there will be points in the season where streaming will be more valuable, I think. Will Paolo coming back bring more value to Suggs? Surely his percentages and defensive stats go up. I'm probably not going to say that it brings more value to him, but I don't think it's going to hurt him at all. Because, yes, defenses will have to focus on Paolo, and they're still very thin offensively. So Suggs is still going to get his shots. His assists are not sky high anyway. And if we think back to what Suggs was doing when Franz was there, he was still playing really well. So I think he just keeps going the way he's going. And the defensive stats, as you said, could go up because he's not having to do as much on the offensive end. Does Giddy have top 50 potential in a 17 points league? If he plays like tonight, yes. But I think this is probably, could it be his best game of the season? Maybe. Let me pull up his box score as well. Okay, so he's got, what has he had? Two triple doubles, I think. Two triple doubles this year. So it was his highest scoring game of the season, highest rebounding game of the season. So potentially his best game. He was playing well, though, coming into the injury as well. So this is not like he's just come in and it's a one-off. He was looking much better. So it could be the high point, but I do think he's going to be better than what we were seeing through November. So is he top 50 in a points league? I think he could be. Could be. A Giddy and Middleton sell highs. I still think Middleton is a sell high just because when Giannis is back, Dame's only been back for one game. I think Middleton, what he's doing now is probably best case scenario. Who has higher upside? I think Giddy probably has higher upside. He just does more. What could I get back for Ayton? Tried trading him for Harden and Fox, Hartenstein plus Ayton. Couldn't get it done. Just ride it out. Yeah, look, I mean, while he's healthy, if he's playing, we know he's a good fantasy producer. I'm skeptical as to whether he stays healthy or whether he wants to be there. But he is playing well. Who do I think you could get for Embiid? I'd probably take... Well, I mean, if you could get a first rounder, of course you'd get a first rounder. I don't think anyone's going to give you a first rounder. I think you could ask for a second rounder. I think that'd be okay. Would I trade Schroeder for Tobias Harris? Yeah, I probably would do that, I think. I think Tobias still has much higher upside. What's Quickley's impact there? That's a good question because we haven't really seen it. He's had two significant injuries. ESPN rankings have him 54th. Does it impact RJ and Barnes? I think he can be a top 50 player this season. That's where I had him coming into the year. And I mean, nothing has changed other than his injury. Whether we get there in January, I don't know. It could be a while. His ceiling, probably is a little bit lower because of the injuries and the Raptors aren't a good team. So there's just not as much incentive to get him out there. Does it impact RJ and Scotty? I think it does a little bit, especially their assist numbers. They are still going to have to score and do things. I think it impacts guys like Grady Dick, Egbaji, those guys, a little bit more than RJ and Scotty. Is this peak for Ryan Dunn or is there more in him? I think it's probably peak. Booker, another week. Booker might be back. Dunn's had a pretty good run in terms of opportunity and hasn't done a lot with it. I thought today he looked okay. He had 15 points. But usually he's just some defensive stats, and I'd rather guys like Royce O'Neal and, as I said, Josh Okogie. So I still like him as a player, but I don't think this season is going to be the season where we get him peaking, let's say that. Chad got here late. That's all right. And what do we think about the Lonzo line? Feels close to viable. Yeah, I said, look, he's close. I think he needs 22, 23 minutes to be, well, must roster. But where are we? I just pulled him up over here. 9 points, three assists, a steal in 19 minutes. Yeah, I don't think he's a must roster at the moment. Worth a flyer, maybe, if you're punting certain categories. He's close, but I think we need to see him, as I said, getting to 22, 23 minutes for him then to be a serious consideration. And that will do for today's show. I'm going to go make some pizzas. I will be back in the morning with a pregame show. Have we got early tip-offs tomorrow? Let's have a look. We often do on a Sunday. Early-ish, 7:30 a.m. tip-off here, Brooklyn and Orlando. So I think I can get a show in before then. So, yes, I will be back with a pre-game show tomorrow and then a post-game show. Still on holidays here, not at work, so I've got time. Thank you, everyone, for listening and tuning in. Again, please go and download. Please subscribe. We are looking potentially next season at doing some sort of a Patreon thing. It'd be nice to get some sort of income rolling in just so we can upgrade equipment and software and things like that to better the product. I don't know whether anyone would actually pay. It would be nice. It would probably only be $1 a month or $2 or something, and we'd probably do some Patreon-only mailbag shows and maybe some written content or something as well. We'd probably ask what people want. But anyway, keep it in the back of your mind if that's something that I'll probably pay to hear myself. But yeah, that is something we're considering next year, just as I said, to try and better what we're doing for everyone. But that will do for today. We will keep rolling with what we've got going at the moment. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.